We're doing Parashat Chayisara, and as usual, we'll try to do a quick overview of the Parsha before we go into it. Our Parsha tells us of Sarah's passing. Avram purchases Maris HaMachpelah to bury Sarah, and there's the whole deal with Ephron and the Hittites, the people of Chet. Avram eulogizes and weeps over Sarah and buries her. And then Avram sends his faithful servant, we have on tradition this was Eliezer, to go specifically to his family to bring a girl. And the servant takes 10 camels laden with wealth from Avram's home. He comes to the well. He says, God, do kindness with my master Avram. I'll make a test. I'll see the girls coming out of the city. I'll ask her for a drink. If she tells me, you drink and I'll give your camels, I know that she has the trait of kindness and that she is fit for Yitzchak. And he just finishes speaking when Rivka, Rebecca, comes out, who is the granddaughter of Milcah, the granddaughter of Nachar, who is Avram's brother. So she is Yitzchak's first cousin once removed. And she is carrying a pitcher, and Eliezer runs to her. He asks her for water. She says, I'll give you. And after she gives him, she goes and she says, I'll give your camels too. And she gives the camels to drink. And when he sees he's succeeded in his mission, so he gives her the gifts, and he discovers that she is the daughter of Besuel, and he asks her if there's room in the house. She says, for sure. And he comes to the house, they have a meal, he tells them the whole story, and the next morning he tells them, send me home. They say, let's give her a little bit of time. He says, nope, we gotta go. And they ask her, and she says, we'll go. They go, and they come back to Israel. She sees a man going out in the field praying. She asks, who is that? He tells her, that's Yitzchak. She covers herself, and Yitzchak brings her home and marries her and is comforted after the death of Sarah, his mother. Avram takes another wife named Keturah. We have on tradition that was Hagar. He has many more children, and he sends them all to their ways. They are not going to be inheriting Avram directly. He gives them the gifts and sends them off. And then Avram passes away, and Yitzchak and Yishmael bury him in the Maris HaMachpelah next to his wife Sarah. In the end of the parasha, we have the offsprings of Yishmael. The Torah tells us who Yishmael gave birth to and how Yishmael passed away. Now let's review the parasha. She was very upset at him. Here she had told him, take my maid. Avram took the maid, just like Sarah told him. But then, the maid got pregnant very fast. She's been married to Avram for decades and hasn't gotten pregnant. And the maid gets pregnant just like that. And now the maid starts looking down at her. And Sarah doesn't feel like Avram is standing up to the maid and saying, you can't talk to my wife like that. So Sarah's upset at Avram. And Sarah makes a fatal error. Instead of taking Avram to the local rabbi to shame, Sarah says to Avram, Yishpot Hashem b'ni u'm'v'necha. God should judge between us. Now that's called Mosel Dino L'Shamayim. When a person says to someone else, God should judge between us, so he's sending up the court case, so to speak, to heavens. He's saying, God, you judge. So God looks down from heaven and says, wait a second, you could have done something, you didn't have to get me involved. If you got me involved when you didn't have to get me involved, then I judge you first. Chazal tells there are certain actions which one can do that cause God to judge the person. If a person unnecessarily puts himself in a situation of danger, he walks under a tree that's on the verge of falling, he walks into a building that's on the verge of collapsing, he knows that it's a dangerous situation, and it's not like he's part of the Atzala team, he's just careless. So then God says, wait a second, that could collapse on him, it could not collapse on him. Let's check, does he have merits that it shouldn't collapse on him? He gets judged. Just like on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we get judged. There are things we do that cause us to be judged, that in heaven they zoom in on us and say, okay, what's this guy worthy of? Should he live or should he die? One of the things that can cause that to happen is when we say, God should judge between us. Now, Sarah was a very righteous woman, but Sarah made a mistake in her argument with Avram. Sarah said, God should judge between us. Now, Sarah was much younger than Avram. Sarah should have at least lived as long as Avram lived. Avram lived to the age of 175. And Sarah died. Sarah was 10 years younger than Avram, right? And Sarah died when she was 127. So Avram was 137. Avram is still going to live another 38 years after Sarah's passing. But Avram lives those years without Sarah another 38 years. That's a long time. Almost four decades, almost 40 years Avram lives after Sarah's passing. And Sarah died early, our sages say, because she said that line to Avram. Now we find throughout Tehillim that David HaMelech turns to God and says, God, you judge those people, you judge between us. I've never done to them like they've done to me. Im gamalti shol mira v'chaltzatzoririkam yiradof v'yev nafshi. David HaMelech, we have chapter after chapter where David HaMelech says, God, you judge between us. You know I didn't do them any harm. You know that people are harming me unnecessarily. That is not like Sarah's claim, because David couldn't have taken them to court. Either David was on the run, or these were issues that couldn't be brought up before a court. David was in positions where he could not take these people to court. So David HaMelech says, okay, that's when I'm allowed to pray God. That's when I turn to you and I say, you do justice. I can't take them to task. So I'm turning to you, God, to do justice, and that is permissible. The prohibition of Mosel Dino Leshamayim is specifically, it's not a prohibition, it's just not a wise thing to do. It's specifically in situations where you have an alternative. Now, Avram has had to travel, he's done the Akedah, and shortly thereafter his father Terach passes away. So Avram has to travel back to Terach to bury him. And after he buries his father, he hears that his wife passed away and he has to come to Kiryas Arba, to Hebron, to bury his wife. Sarah passed away, Avram in a short period lost his father and his wife, one after the other. Even though the Torah records Terach's passing two parashios ago, really Terach passed away here. This is when Terach passed away. So Avram comes to bury Sarah after he has just buried Terach. And we know that when a woman passes away, so all her bodily fluids start coming out, and it's not very pleasant, it's not very nice or respectable. So we always try to bury a woman soon after she passes away. And you understand, Avram has to buy a burial plot. He has to arrange the place for burial. But imagine had Sarah passed away out in Beersheba, or had Sarah passed away out in Haran. And then they would have had to schlep her all the way from there, schlep the body to Kiryat Arba. So because Sarah was such a pious person, Hashem did her this chesed, that she passed away exactly where she was supposed to be buried, and Avram didn't have to carry her body anywhere. Right away, he could bury her. Now, when we learn our parsha, when we learn the parshiot in general about the avot, so there are a few things we should remember. The Navi tells the Jewish people, things are going to be very good for you. There will come a time when you will not be oppressed by the nations. And the Jewish people turn to God and say, we don't believe it. Why should we have it so good? By what right are we going to have it so good? And God says to the Jewish people, Shimu Elai, you listen to me, God says. Rodfei Tzedek, you seek out justice. You're not like the other nations. If I told you about a nation that wakes up early in the morning to go to shul, they come here late at night, look at all the guys sitting here. They come to learn Torah, they go to shul, they go to Beis Medrash, they hear that a friend, Zach, is lying in bed sick. They go out and buy him the medicine he needs. They go up and they visit and see what he needs. They hear that someone passed away. They go and they take care of his burial. They hear that a chassan's getting married. They schlep out at night to bim sameach hatanim. They see the poor. They set up soup kitchens. They help them out. They are rodfei tzedek. You Jewish people, don't tell me by what right you deserve this. You seek out charity. You seek out justice. Look at how many mitzvahs you. I tell you to buy a sitron, an esrog. I tell you to buy a lulav. So you go to the market and you look at this one and you look at that one until finally you get a beautiful lulav and esrog. Go tell an average person to do that. What's he going to say? After 7 days I throw it out. I'm going to spend so much money for 7 days. What do? We go look for the best lulav and esrog. Well, we are rodfei tzedek. We look, we chase after the mitzvot. We spend our money. We go to a sukkah. You lie in the sukkah. Sometimes it's cold. Sometimes it's hot. It's not the ideal spot you want to spend your nights. But we have a mitzvah and we love it and we make a bracha over it. Hashem says, look at you. Don't tell me by what right are things going to be good for you. The Jewish people had reached a point where they turned to God and said, maybe Esav is right. Maybe the nations are right that they're beating us up. But why are we being beaten up? Maybe we deserve it. God said, what do you mean you deserve it? You deserve much better than that. First of all, you are chotfei tzedek. And if something, God forbid, happens bad to a person, so what does a Jew do? He doesn't turn to God and say, what did you do to me? He doesn't do that. He looks at himself and he says, wait a second, what did I do wrong? What did I do to deserve this? Why did this happen to me? That's built in our nature. That's the way we behave. So God says, is there a nation like that in the world? Of course I'm going to make things good for you. So firstly, God says, you are chotfei tzedek. You seek out good, you seek out justice. Mevakshei Hashem, you seek out Hashem. Other people, they don't mind. God does exist, God doesn't exist. You seek out what's right. What does God want of me? You don't say, well, maybe I see people are being successful even when they don't keep Shabbat. People are being successful when they go against morals and ethics. You don't. You look for what's right. You've been oppressed by nations for generations. And you don't say because that we don't accept the faith, but rather you stick to your faith. So you're mivakshei Hashem. You seek out Hashem. Don't tell me by what right am I going to do things good for you. Hashem tells us, habitu, take a look. El tzur chutzavtem ve'el makevet bo nukartem. Look at the quarry from which I took you out. You're different. I made you different. Your neshama is different. You have a different neshama, and whether you like it or not, you're different, and that in and of itself is a right by which I will make things good for you. Habitu, take note, el Avraham avichem, to Avram, your forefather. The fourth point that Hashem says, our fourth right to the world to come, is the zchut avot, the merits of our forefathers. Avraham and Sarah. And specifically Avraham and Sarah are mentioned. Avraham avichem Sarah techol elchem. We know that Avraham is Av Amon Goyim, and Sarah also. Avraham and Sarah were warm people filled with chesed, and they brought people close to Avodat Hashem, to the service of Hashem. And Hashem says, the mere fact that you come from them is another right by which you're going to have it good in the world to come. So when we learn the parasha, we have to take note, what is the chesed of Avraham Avinu? What can we learn from Avraham and Sarah? We're going to go through the parasha and we'll try to point out some notes, some points. One of the points we should notice as we learn the parasha is that Hashem is watching over what's happening in the world. Avraham and Sarah naturally couldn't have kids. They would get the best fertility treatment and it didn't work. They didn't have a chance. And Hashem said, you will have children. And Hashem fulfilled his promise of Va'agadila Shemecha, I will make your name great. If you can't have kids, how great is his name? No, he had kids. And not only did Avram have kids, but he became world renowned. When he comes to bury his wife, he says, you know, I'm a stranger here. And the people say, you're no stranger. You're our king. Stranger? You're no stranger. So we see a few things. We see that Hashem was watching over Avram and Sarah, that things worked out for them. And we see that Avram didn't take things for granted. He still felt like a stranger. He didn't come by might. He asked. Avram comes and his wife has passed away. And his wife has lived a very whole life. Sarah, our sages tell us, her whole life was a tremendous prophetess, greater than Avram Avinu. And now she's passed away. And Avram comes to eulogize Sarah and to weep over her. Yes, even when a person dies at 127 years old, we're supposed to weep. Our sages say that one of the reasons a person's children die when they're babies is because they didn't weep over righteous people that passed away. Hashem says, if a righteous person passes away, you're supposed to stop and take note and weep. A righteous person left the world. Stop. Take note. Madua avada tzaddik. Why is this tzaddik left us? Why are we without him? A righteous person passes away and we weep. Chazal say, nimchalin lo kol avonotav. Hashem forgives us for our sins. Hashem says, ah, so you're a good person. You care if someone dies. You take note that now there's one less positive person in the world. You've wept for him. I understand at least where you're headed. You want to be a good person. That is already a merit that Hashem says, I will wipe your sins. So I know that there were great people who, when they visited Shiva, for rabbis' wives that died. Not only the rabbi. Here we're talking about Sarah. We're talking about the rabbi's wife. Chazal tell us, Eshet chaver arei kechaver. A rabbi's wife is his partner. We owe her the same respect we owe the rabbi. So the Gemara says, if a rabbi's wife walks into court, the judges have to stand up for her like they'd stand up for her husband. She's his partner in everything he does. So I know of cases where the rabbi sat and wept. They didn't know her, but they knew she was a righteous woman, so they just sat and wept. A righteous person has left us. Avram is coming to eulogize her and to weep. Our sages say that the first 3 days after a person passes away, so the neshama, the soul, goes back and forth from the grave to the home, to the heavens, keeps wandering back and forth. It keeps trying to get back into the body. After 3 days, the body disintegrates and the stomach breaks open and the innards of the stomach start pouring out. There are levels of disintegration of the body. Chazal say the first level is after 3 days. The neshama looks down at the body after it starts disintegrating. After 3 days, when it reaches that point that the stomach starts pouring out its intestines, and the neshama says, oh, wait a second, that's not me. Then the neshama gets the hint that it's not going back. Initially, the first 3 days, the neshama keeps looking at the body, thinking, maybe I could get back in. After 3 days, it goes up a notch. Now, when the neshama wants to go up to Shemayim, so there's a block. The neshama tries to go up, and it can't go up. And when people weep, our weeping, so to speak, breaks that block, and the neshama could go up. The same thing is true with our davening. When we daven, so the davening could only go so high. You want to break the ceiling, you want to get out, so Chazal tells us, if you sing, if you call in your davening, that's why David HaMelech always sang. The singing, so to speak, breaks the block. Now our prayers go up more smoothly. So all these are spiritual concepts. I don't understand them. But that's what it says. So I'm repeating what I don't understand. So Chazal tells us it's important when a person passes away, we eulogize them, we weep over them. And that's what Avram does. So Avram eulogizes. Who's he eulogizing to? Whoever is going to come. And the people of Chet, the Hittites, and the people of his home, they all came and they heard the eulogy. And we have Midrashim that explain how they were paid back. Every person that does a good thing in this world, Hashem pays them back. You're all sitting here learning Torah tonight. Up in Shemayim, they're writing it down. When we'll get paid back, I don't know. But in heavens, even the fact that the Hittites took some time off from work to go and hear Avram's eulogy, the Midrash has a whole chapter in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer describing how Hashem paid back the Hittites for the fact that they honored Sarah and went to hear her eulogy. So Avram now has to take care of her burial. So he starts talking to them and he says, you know, I know that I'm a stranger here. I don't really have an area that I own. And I'd like to bury my wife in a set place. And they say, whatever you want. You're a prince over here. You choose the best grave. We'll give it to you. And Avram's smart. Avram knows that people are very easy to promise. So he doesn't just take them for their promise. He says, okay, so here's what I want. And he tells them, I want to bury her specifically in this cave that's called Ma'ara Samachpela. Avram knew why it was called Ma'ara Samachpela. They didn't know. They just thought that the name is Machpela, because Machpela means border. They thought it's the cave at the border of the field. I'll buy it at a full price. I want it to remain in my family. And here Avram is teaching them a spiritual concept, that we invest in the burial place of the dead. We believe in an afterlife. Life doesn't end now that the person dies. They're coming back. And that's why Avram says, I'm going to invest in a good burial plot for my wife. It's something I invest in. We don't just make this big hole in the ground, dump all the bodies, and leave them there. No, we invest in the burial plot. Avram is also concerned, if he buries her in a field, then one day they might change the zoning laws, and they'll plow over her body. So Avram wants to ensure he has a set place where he'll bury her, and he buries her in a cave, a place that's not going to be turned into a field, and he purchases the cave. And Ephron says, you want to purchase it? You purchase the whole field. I'll give it to you, he says. You can have it. I'm giving it to you. Everyone sees. No problem. Bury her. And Avram says, no. Everyone's still around. Let's close the deal. Don't tell me to bury her and we'll close the deal later. I want, when everyone's here, I'll pay you and I'll bury her. And Ephron tells him, you know what? A land that's 400 silver coins between two great friends like me and you. What's the difference? Now, when Ephron quotes the price, 400 silver coins, he's quoting the highest price he could get for the field, a price that, according to Chazal, was not a legitimate price, but he's taking advantage of the situation. Everyone's standing around. Avram's promised he's going to pay. So Ephron quotes the great price, and Avram says, fine, I hear you, Ephron. And sometimes we have to hear between the lines. Avram wants that plot. So Avram pays out the money in front of everyone, and he pays him the best possible coins. He doesn't try to skimp and give him lousy coins. Avram pays him best possible coins. And that's another thing we have to remember. When we do business, we have to maintain a good reputation. And that's what Avram does. So Avram pays, and Avram is paying full price. Here Hashem promised him things will go well. You'll have the whole land of Israel. And when he needs to bury his wife, he can't even take a little small piece of land to bury his wife. He has to pay 400 silver coins for it. This was a test. And Avram stood up to the test. He did it happily. We discussed that the test was not only what he would do, but with what attitude he would do it. So Avram did it without having complaints. Yes? Right. So that deserves its own discussion. Maybe we'll get to it tomorrow night.